Thank you, Katie. You know, if I had sat around and thought about a song to be sung before the message that God laid on my heart, I couldn't have picked one out any better. Turn with your Bibles, in your Bibles with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Paul is writing this letter to the church at Ephesus. He'd been with them for a couple of years and had really poured his heart and soul into teaching them what it meant to be Christ-like and how to live for the Lord. But he's on his way elsewhere as God is leading him, and in his heart, he's not sure that he'll ever get back to Ephesus again. So he meets with some of the church leaders, and he tries to instruct them and warn them about the things that are going to be taking place and the things that are going to try to infiltrate the church. And it's things that we need to be very well aware of today. And he knows in his heart that once he's gone, that will create a void in the leadership of the church, that if they're not careful, they could be overtaken by false teachers. Ones who would try to get them to revert back to some of their pagan ways and some of the things that they did before they were saved, just as Katie was singing. God saves us just as we are, but he doesn't leave us just as we are. He wants us to be imitators of him. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore be imitators of God as dear children. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your goodness, your grace, your love, your mercy, your salvation. Thank you for Jesus Christ, the ultimate example of what our life should look like. Lord, we fall woefully short. We fail you so much every day. But Lord, we know that you give us guidance, you give us strength, you give us wisdom. And we pray, Lord, that you'd help us to walk in holiness, to be obedient to your will, to be more and more conformed into the image of your dear Son. Lord, forgive us for falling short, and we pray that you'll lead us and guide us and bless us today as we open your word. Lord, we pray that your will be accomplished and you would speak to all of our hearts, and we'll give you all the glory for everything that you accomplish, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. So, you and I are imitating somebody. Are you imitating God, or are you imitating Satan? And that's basically the only two choices that we have. Because everything in the world, all the lusts of the flesh and the lusts of the eyes and the pride of life and all the things are exactly opposite as to how God wants us to live. So when we come to Jesus Christ and ask him to be our Lord and Savior, we give him our lives. We give him our will to conform us, to make us and mold us more and more into the image of his dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So he wants us, you and me, the longer we walk with him, the longer we are a Christian, he wants us to look more and more and more like our Father. I know some of you all, I've seen pictures on Facebook. I've seen Julie Gillum post a picture of her when she was about Kenley's age. And you put her side to side with a picture of Kenley, they look exactly alike. It looks like the same person. She looks like her mother. You and I, we look like somebody. Who do you look like? Who are you imitating? Do you look like Jesus or do you look like the world? Be imitators of God as dear children. You know, when we're growing up, when our kids are small, our desire is to be like our parents. We're to be like that father figure, that mother figure, that person that we look up to. We want to be more and more like that person. We have people that we admire and that we think, man, if I could just be like them. But we have an ultimate example. And that example is Jesus Christ. So how do you show that you are an imitator of God? How do you show that you are an imitator of Jesus Christ? Well, it's evident in the things that you do, the things that you say, the things that you partake in. I'm sorry for coughing, but that's just me, okay? So if you want to become an imitator of Jesus Christ, how are you going to do it? What are you going to look like once you become more and more an imitator of the Lord Jesus Christ? The first thing is chapter 5, verse 2. Walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. So, if you're going to look like Jesus, if you're going to look like God the Father, you have to give yourself. You have to surrender yourself to His will and to His way. So that means you have to put aside the things that are your will and your way, your habits, your characteristics. You put those aside because those are behind you now, and you look forward to Jesus Christ and you look at Him and you see what kind of characteristics He has, and you want to become more and more and more like Him. So you begin to exhibit more and more of His characteristics. The first one is love. You love one another. You love God with all your heart. You're kind to one another. I wrote down some characteristics of God that I think should be evident in the life of a Christian. A Christian should be loving. You should look at other people with a compassion, the same compassion that Jesus Christ looked on you and me and He had for us. We should look on others in that same way, not in a judgmental way, not saying, oh, look at them, they're getting what they deserve, or look at this person, how they're acting. No, we look at them and we have a love and a compassion for them, like Christ, just as we were, loved us and gave Himself for us. When we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We should have a love towards other people. We should be kind. We should be kind to one another. You know, sometimes we're hateful and mean as Christians. And we look at other people and we treat them in an ungodly way. And that's wrong. That's sinful. And God's not pleased with us when we do that. We should be giving. Giving people. Giving of our time. Giving of our resources. Giving of ourselves to one another. We should be sacrificial. Jesus Christ paid the ultimate price. I've got some verses I want us to look at. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, Michael, if you'll turn to those. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. Let's go on to the next one. But made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross. Jesus Christ humbled himself. The Lord of glory humbled himself and became obedient. So another mark of a Christian, another mark of an imitator of Christ, is for us to be obedient. And I know Katie was talking about when she needed an attitude adjustment, it was because of disobedience. And sometimes we as Christians need our attitudes adjusted because we're disobedient to our Father in heaven. We're being disobedient to Him. He said, let this mind be in you. You need to have the same mind that Jesus Christ has, that you became obedient to the point of death. We should be obedient to the Father, even to the point of giving our lives, whether it be sacrificially or whether it be as a martyr or whether it be just living your life and giving yourself to the Lord fully and completely and totally. So we should be sacrificial in our lives. Our life should be pure. Our life should be pure. And you might say, well, you know, I know I'm not pure. Well, I know I'm not pure either. But that should be our goal. We should be imitating Jesus Christ because He was perfect and is perfect and will always be perfect. So as followers of Jesus Christ, our goal and our aim should be to become more and more like Him, become obedient to His will and His word and His way, and to be pure and sinless. You say, can you be sinless while you're in this body? No, but that should be where we're headed. That should be the direction that we're going in, we're traveling in. We should have a desire to abstain from sin. We don't. We should have. become more and more and more like Jesus because he was pure and perfect. He's holy. The Bible very plainly tells us, you be holy because I'm holy. You, as my followers, my disciples, my Christ-like followers, should be holy because I'm holy. That should be a mark of a Christian. People should look at us and say, you look like Jesus. You act like Jesus. You talk like Jesus. You behave like Jesus. You know, some of you look like your parents, or your kids look like you. My sons both have my wonderful hairline. They both look like me. And you know what? In some ways, they act like me and they behave like me because of the influence that I had on them growing up. And who wouldn't want to be like me? So, I'm just kidding. The next one is humility. You got to be humble, okay? I should have said all that afterwards, but we do. Jesus Christ became obedient. He humbled himself. The Lord of glory looked down on us and had compassion and said, look at those poor people. They don't have a Savior. They don't have somebody who's going to speak for them, who's going to save them, and who's going to make a way for them to enter into the glory of the Lord. I'll go. I'll sacrifice the worship that I'm receiving. I'll sacrifice my position on the throne of heaven for a brief time to go to earth and humble myself, become something lesser than he was. He became a man and limited himself in certain avenues, in certain ways. He never ceased being God, but he became man at the same time. So he humbled himself. We have to humble ourselves. There are times when we have disagreements with one another. There are times when things don't exactly go our way. There are times that we need to just humble ourselves and look on the needs of others, as the Bible instructs us, and think of their needs as more important than our needs. We need to humble ourselves. We don't need to be thinking of ourselves as high and mighty Christians, and we're this and we're that, and we're better than other people. We're not. The only difference is we have Jesus in our lives, and a lot of them don't. And they do need him. And the only way they're going to receive him is if somebody like us relates to them, tells them, and witnesses to them about the true gospel and the salvation of Jesus Christ. And in order that, we have to humble ourselves. And we have to realize that there's nothing special about us in ourselves. The only thing special about us is our Savior. And that's what we need to relay to people. We need to humble ourselves. Truth. If you're going to follow Christ, then you have to be true. You have to be a person of truth. You have to be a person of your word. Meek. Meek doesn't mean weak. Don't ever get that confused. Meekness means strength under control. We have to have self-control. We have to have control of our minds. And boy, that's hard, isn't it? That's very hard to control your mind. But you can do it, and I can do it, if we want to, if we humble ourselves, and if we become obedient and have the same mind that Jesus Christ has. But we have to be willing to give over to him our will. We don't like to give up our will to anybody, do we? But we have to give our will to God if he is going to be our Lord and Savior. So contrast that, those attributes that we name that makes us become more and more like Jesus, as the attributes of the world. Satan. Everything about Satan is impure. Everything. Anything that's impure in this world, it comes from Satan. Lust, lustful, liar. The Bible says he is the liar and the father of all lies. He's been a liar from the beginning. He's proud. He's loud. He's vulgar. He hates people. He doesn't love people. He hates. He's violent. Covetous. That was his sin. He coveted to be equal to God. He wanted to be like God. Drunkenness, false teaching. So when we look at these things, we compare them. Where are you? Who are you imitating today? And you might want to say, well, yeah, I'm a Christian, I do some of these things. Okay, we're going to look at that in just a minute and see how that falls out, how that shakes out. Let's continue on back in Ephesians, chapter 5, verse 3. But fornication, all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. Okay, think about that for just a minute. Now, a lot of us, we like to set the stage for ourselves in case we mess up. We'll say something like, well, I'm no saint. You ever said that? I'm no saint. Well, the Bible says you are. The Bible says if you're a child of God, you are a saint. And you say, well, we say that because we feel like it makes it a little easier to swallow when we mess up. And we say, well, I messed up, but you know, I'm no saint. But you are a saint. If you're a child of God, you are a saint. That doesn't mean you're perfect, but that means you are set apart and chosen by God to be more and more like Him. You're chosen to be part of His family. You're chosen to spend eternity with Him. So we need to behave like it. Now, you're not going to be perfect. I'm not going to be perfect. We're going to mess up as we walk through this world. But how we respond is key. What we do when we mess up, that's the key to this whole passage. He said, fornication. And let's talk about that for just a minute. We don't like to talk about that. Usually it's a touchy subject, and it's hard. It's hard to discuss. But fornication is any sexual relationship, any sexual immorality, including sex before marriage, sex outside of marriage, homosexuality, transgenderism, pornography, you name it. Sexual impurity. He said fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once even named among you. The children of God, how many times have you seen churches that fall apart because the pastor had an affair with somebody in the church? Let it not be named among you, because it is division. It's sinful. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:18 that for us to flee sexual immorality, it means run for your life. Remember what happened to Joseph when he was in Potiphar's house? Potiphar's wife kept day after day trying to tempt him. Joseph, come lay with me. Joseph, come sleep with me. And he said, no, I can't. Joseph was in a far country, away from his family, away from his God, so to speak. And you think, well, you know, he could have done. It would have been to his advantage to make a friend of Potiphar's wife and get on her good side. But he refused her because he says it's wrong. It's wrong, and I would sin against my God. And remember when she finally grabbed him and tried to pull him into her bed, he fled. He ran for his life. Now, he got arrested because she told a lie on him and said that he tried to force himself on her. But that was all part of God's plan. Joseph was being obedient. He humbled himself to the plan of God, and he fled sexual immorality. And we, in this today's culture, that is one of the most dominant messages that the world gives you and the world puts before us today, is that anything goes. Everything's acceptable. If you want to, if you're a male and you want to consider yourself a female, that's okay. And not only is it okay, it's celebrated. And it's something glorious to be applauded, and everybody wants to clap and say, well, good for you. If you want to have this relationship or that relationship. See, we have got to the point now that what we consider fornication is sex before marriage. We have got to the point now in our society that it is no longer considered taboo. It's no longer considered sin. In fact, it's become normal and almost expected. Young men, young women, today's culture will pound you with message after message after message that if you're not having sex before you get married, you're crazy. You should find out what this person is like before you marry them. That's not God's plan. That is not God's plan. God's plan is for a husband and a wife to enjoy the sexual intimacy that God has planned for them, and only inside the bonds of marriage. So we have, I remember one time Dave and I were visiting, were talking with a lady, and she was very upset because her granddaughter had come out as a lesbian, and she had come out and said she's going to live with this woman, and she was very, very upset, and rightfully so. I don't disagree with her. But the more we talk, the more I began to think, and I asked her this question. I said, would you be as upset if your granddaughter was living with a boy? Think about it. So it's just as wrong. That's my point. It's just as wrong for a man and a woman to live together and have sex before marriage as it is two homosexuals or an adulterer, somebody who is married and has that sex with an affair with somebody outside of their marriage. It's all fornication. It's all sinful against God. And the Bible says that fornication is something that we commit against our own body. And when we do that, we got to realize that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Fornication, all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you. Don't let anybody even get a sniff that you might consider doing something like that. Young people, you need to remain pure. You need to remain chaste and perfect for that person that God has planned for you to be your husband or your wife. He said it's fitting for saints. This is what saints should look like. This is if we're going to be imitators of God. See, the reason God is so firm on this particular sin of fornication and sexual immorality is because God relates His relationship to the church as a marriage. Jesus Christ, we as the groom, we as the church, the body of believers, are the bride. When we step outside and have a relationship with another god, a false god, or this or that, then we are violating the covenant that He has made with us. It's so important to God that He was willing to send His Son Jesus to die for us. So it's that important. Let it not be named among you as fitting for saints. Neither, okay, now this is going to be something that we kind of say, well, you know, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. So our language, he rates that right up there with fornication, uncleanness. Let your language, your filthy talk, your coarse jesting, your crude and suggestive humor, the things that people so commonly will talk about back and forth, he said we shouldn't be doing that. We shouldn't open our mouths and have an attitude and have a conversation with somebody with suggestive language, with filthy language. The Bible says, does the same fountain put forth sweet water and bitter? No. So as Christians, when we open our mouth, it should be to give thanks to God. It should be glorifying to God and to point people to Jesus. And when we're around people, try to let your language be the same everywhere you go. It should be. You should be the same person. You should have the same language here at church as you do at school, or as you do at work, or as you do at Walmart, or as when you're driving down Stone Drive and somebody pulls over in front of you. Oh, everybody got kind of quiet on that one, didn't they? Let your language be fitting as of a saint. Let it be pleasing to God. Give thanks. Be a thankful person. Be thankful to God for what He's done for you. Now here's where it gets tough. For this you know, verse 5, that no fornicator, no unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. So what is it saying? It's saying that if you're claiming to be a Christian, and you're living in a sexually immoral lifestyle, and you're unwilling to repent of that because God clearly says you should not be doing that as His child, if you're unwilling to turn your back on that and repent of that, the Bible says you have no inheritance in the kingdom of God. So when it says this person or that person is a fornicator, does that mean, well, that Christians can't slip up and sin? No, it doesn't mean that. But if it is a lifestyle, if it is continually going on, and you refuse to hear the counsel of God, and the Holy Spirit is not speaking to your heart to tell you you need to get out of that relationship, you need to get out of that habit and out of that lifestyle, then you don't belong to Him. Now, people don't like that. They don't want to hear that. But that's the truth according to the Word of God. If we, and it's, I'm not just talking about fornication. The Bible talks about lying and drunkenness and revelings and all the other sins, and we'll get to that in a few minutes. It said, those who do those things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Does that mean if a Christian tells a lie, they're going to go to hell? It doesn't mean that. But if a person's life is marked by the attitude that they're always lying and they never show any remorse and they never show any desire to correct the wrong that they're doing, if a person lives in a lifestyle of homosexuality or a lifestyle of immorality and fornication, and they're unwilling to repent of that, the Bible says you won't inherit the kingdom of heaven. That's hard, but it's true. Now, we need to understand that, and we need to believe God's word and take God for what He says to be true. Look at verse 6. Let no one deceive you with empty words. That's what I was talking about a while ago. The world will tell you that's okay. You know, these church folk, you know, they're old-fashioned and they don't understand what's going on in the world today. And, you know, God doesn't really intend for you to one man, one wife, one husband, one wife for a lifetime. You know, that's impossible. That's empty words. God's word is full of promise. God's word is full of truth. God's word is truth. Let no one deceive you with empty words. A lot of people are being deceived today. A lot of people are being deceived by what they're being taught and what they believe and what they hear and what you're inundated with in television and on in the movies and everywhere that you go in print and in, on social media. And they're telling you that this is okay. That's okay. This is acceptable now. This is good now. This is okay. And to think otherwise is foolishness. That's not what the Bible says. As Christians, as believers, as saints, we need to understand what the Bible says. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things that he named, fornication, uncleanness, covetousness, filthiness, foolish talking, coarse language, because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. We need to separate ourselves from the things of the world. And you say it's hard. I don't disagree. It is hard. But it's necessary. It's necessary that we separate ourselves from the things and the sins of this world. Do not be partakers with them. Because you were once darkness, he says, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. He doesn't say that you were once, look at that. He doesn't say that you were once in darkness. He says you were once darkness. Not in darkness. Not a person that, oh well, just kind of stumbled into something. No, you were darkness. I was darkness. Jesus Christ manifested himself to us and revealed himself to us, and we repented of our sins and we came to him, and now we're light. We should no longer have the works of darkness in our lives. You're in the light. You're light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. That's kind of an oxymoron, isn't it? You think of a sacrifice as something that's killed. Well, a sacrifice, a living sacrifice, is something presented to God, and we give up our life. We give up our desires, our lusts, the lusts of the flesh, and all the things that we once were before Christ, when we were darkness, now we're light. We need to give those things up. Have no fellowship with the, and back in Ephesians, verse 11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. So that's kind of what we're doing here this morning. We're exposing the unfruitful works of darkness. It's not popular. I understand that. People might watch it and they think, well, I'm never watching that again. Or you might think, you just don't understand. You don't understand my relationship. You don't understand why we're having to do this and why we have to live this way. I don't have to understand. God knows. And He knows what's going on in your heart. And He knows what's going on in your life. And if you're not willing to repent of wrong living, then the Bible says you don't belong to Him. And it's just that simple. It's not pleasant. It's not easy to swallow and easy to hear, but it's the truth. It's shameful to even speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. It's time that we wake up as Christians, as believers. It's time that we quit giving in to the ways of the world and accepting what the world says is right and go back to the Bible and believe in what the Bible says is right. And we'll say something that you need to really think about. And I want you to understand what I'm talking about here. When we come to Jesus Christ, we ask Him to be our Savior. And He says, yes, I'll be your Savior, but not just your Savior, Lord. Now that Lord carries on a different connotation. It brings a different set of talk. Savior means somebody who rescued me. Lord means somebody who I give my life to, I'm going to obey, I am their servant, and I will do whatever they say from that point on. Many people want a Savior, but they don't want a Lord. They want to be saved so they can go to heaven, but they don't want to give control of their life and let God tell them what they should do and shouldn't do. They don't want Him to be their Lord, they just want Him to be their Savior. He will not be one without the other. And we need to understand that. You might want to write this down. It's not, and I didn't come up with it, so I'm not trying to push on something that I think I came up with is really profound, but I think it's true. You can't call Him Lord if you're not willing to do what He says. That's simple, it's straightforward, and it's true. You can't call Him Lord and not do what He says. If He says, put away fornication, you better put away fornication. If He says, put away lying and all these drunkenness and all these other things, you better put it away. Because He is your Lord. He is your Savior and your Lord, your Redeemer. He is the one who owns you because He bought you with the price of His precious blood. Verse 15 says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Circumspectly. That word means walk cautiously with intent, looking around for the dangers. You ever walk through a place that you know that there are holes in the ground or something, and you think, well, I got to be really careful because if I step in there, I'm going to break break an ankle, and at my age, it's going to be hard to get over. So you're walking around, you're looking for things, you're looking for trouble, you're looking for things that might make you stumble, you're looking for things that might make you fall. Walk circumspectly. That's the way you should walk as a Christian. You should be walking, your head should be on a swivel, looking around at the dangers. The Bible says the devil's like a roaring lion. He's walking to and fro on the earth. He's seeking whom he may devour. And I've noticed on a lot of videos that a lot of people that maybe get kidnapped or something like that is because they're distracted. You see, especially young people, young girls in particular. Maybe they're walking through a parking lot and they're looking at their phone. They're texting while they're walking. Somebody comes up behind them because they're not aware of their surroundings, and they overtake them, and they've captured them. Same way as a Christian. We're distracted with all the things of the world. We're not paying attention. The enemy is all around us, and he comes from behind, and he grabs us, and he overtakes us because we're not looking. So we need to walk circumspectly in this world. We need to pay attention to what's going on around us. We need to understand what the world is telling us, and don't be deceived with their empty words and their vain words. Walk circumspectly because the days are evil. Aren't the days evil? They are. The days are evil. Redeem your time. Make the most of the time that you have. Live for the Lord and do those things that He wants you to do. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation. Now, I saw that and I thought, well, what does dissipation mean? Dissipation means you have just lost all self-control. And whatever you want to do, that's what you do. It's a point of drunkenness to no control. You fall into debauchery. You fall into to sin, and you're there, and you just don't care. Don't be filled with wine, which is dissipation. Because when you're filled with wine, you give up control of your body and your mind to an outside influence. You no longer have, you can't operate a vehicle like you normally could. You can't make decisions like you should when you're taken over, when you're drunk with wine or some kind of intoxicant. Rather, be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Give control to the Holy Spirit, not to the wines and the things of this world, the sexual immorality and all the sins and all the things that are around us. Speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Give thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. We need to encourage one another because life is hard. We need to encourage our young people. Life is hard, and we understand that. We know that. But we need to speak the truth. We need to warn them about the dangers of the things. And listen, it's not just young people. It's older people too. You may have lived your whole life, and now you find yourself either you're widow or widower, or you're divorced, and now you're out back here and you're dating again. Fornication's fornication. Doesn't matter if you're 16 or 66. Okay? It's the same. And it's still sin against God, and we need to avoid those things as saints. You know, we think about, I've got one more passage of Scripture in Galatians, talking about the lusts of the flesh, the attitudes of Satan versus imitating God. Look at this, chapter 5 of Galatians 19 through 24. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. These are the things that are going to be exhibited in your life if you're not in Christ. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery. That word for sorcery, if you look it up into Greek, it's pharmakeia, which, what does that tell you? Drug use. Hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past. I want everybody to read these last words with me. That those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Practice such things. Is a Christian going to mess up? Is a Christian going to have an outburst of anger? Is a Christian going to tell a lie? Is a Christian? Yes. But when you practice those things and you're unwilling to repent of those things and you ignore the Holy Spirit, you ignore the Word of God, you are practicing those things. The Bible says, go back one screen, Mike. Those who practice those things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Will not inherit the kingdom of God. So if we live in a lifestyle that is displeasing to God and we're unwilling to repent of that, He is not our Lord. And if He's not your Lord, guess what? He's not your Savior either. We need to dwell on these things. We need to examine ourselves and go ahead to the next one. We need to see that we need to be more and more like Jesus. And when we do that, we'll exhibit these kind of fruits. Fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. That's a pretty telling verse right there. If you belong to Christ, you have put away those things that were mentioned in the first part of that passage. The envyings, the lusts, the lies, and all the things that come with it. The fornication and the adultery and the lewdness and the idolatry and the witchcraft and all those things. You put those away. If you're in Christ, you've crucified the flesh and all its passions and desires. So what I'm asking you today, who are you imitating? Who are you more like? Are you more like God, His Son, Jesus Christ, or are you more like Satan and the world? You can't have it both ways. You got to make a choice. And if you choose God, then you got to put away the things of the world. And if you're not willing to put away the things of the world, then you've made your choice that you would rather have the world than have God. So I want you to examine yourselves today. Think about where you are. Think about what you do and what you desire. And again, listen, we all sin. We all fall short of the glory of God every day. I sin every day. But it can't be my life. It can't be my habits. It can't be continually doing the same things over and over and over that God says don't do, or not doing the things that God says to do. What does your life reveal about you and your relationship to Him? Mark's going to come. We're going to share a song of invitation. Ron's going to be up here and Karen's going to be up here. Maybe you just want to come and pray. You don't have to come tell us anything about your life or anything like that. Maybe you just want to come and pray and just talk to the Lord. Or if you're here and you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, now's the time. Repent of your sins. The Bible says, unless you repent, you'll all likewise perish. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness and grace, your love and your mercy. Thank you for Jesus. Lord, help us to be surrendered to you. Forgive us, Lord. We know that we fail you every day. We know that we still battle with the flesh. We know all these things, Lord. Give us strength. Give us a desire for holiness, a desire to be an imitator of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We love you. We praise you. Bless this invitation. Let it be used for your glory. In Jesus' name.